It's Talking Flicks with JT and Grant Lee.
Oh, yes. Hello. Welcome to our Talking Flickster, back the very first one for 2025. Mr. Lee, hello and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, JT. What a year last year was of movies.
Yeah, it was huge.
Wasn't it a big year?
It was. And we reflected on that with our best and worst. And
yes.
And your stat of, what was it, 786 odd movies that were released?
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was a lot. Incredible, isn't it? That's a lot of movies.
That was amazing. A lot of movies. Yes.
And that was just in cinema.
How many in 2025? Will that number be bigger? I guess that's the question, isn't it?
It'd be interesting. We'll find out. Yeah.
Yeah, going to be a big one in 2025. Well, let's get things underway. We're reviewing a movie today that was actually from last year, we can say now, which is Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Doesn't that sound funny when you're saying last year and it was just yesterday?
Yeah, I'm still not used to that yet. I've got to get my head around it.
And hey, can I ask a silly question? How long does it take you to stop writing 2024?
It'll be happening for another couple of weeks yet, I'd say, just until I get myself too. In the process of it. Yeah, I've already done it today, once or twice. So
I struggle. It takes me a few weeks as well just to start going, 25. Yep.
And speaking of, how was your New Year's, Mr. Lee? How did you go? Just very quickly, did you party hard last night?
I partied hard. I was in bed by 9 o'clock.
You really partied hard, didn't you? No, come on. You were out and about. You're out on the Tamworth Town. What was your venue?
I had to work until 7:15, so I was fairly tired. So I had a few quiet drinks at home. I watched the fireworks on TV, the kids' fireworks.
The 9 o'clock.
And then that was it. How about you? What did you get up to?
It was a nice night with the family, which was good. You know, we just just had some, you know, the usual things, just a New Year's night, lots of food, lots of drinks, things like that. But I did stay up until midnight, Mr. Lee, and I did, we got to see local fireworks and whatnot, but I didn't park at 9 o'clock.
How was that?
Like you little party pooper. Okay, let's get into Sonic the Hedgehog 3. We do have a talk and flickster, and we'll introduce him in just a tick, but let's take a listen.
Here we go. Showtime.
What is this den of madness?
Are you Detective Pikachu?
He does look like a Pokemon. Pika Pika.
Konnichiwa.
Get down.
It's time, Shadow. Finally, we will have our revenge.
But what good is a dastardly plot if you can't conspire with family?
There's two Eggmen now?
Double your villains, double your fun.
Any last words?
Nice magic marble, real scary. That actually is real scary. Trick shot. Tom, Maddie, we need your help on a super... Knuckles, do you mind?
Oh, excuse me.
We need your help on a super dangerous top secret mission.
We're in.
Are you ready?
We were born ready.
All right, boys, try and keep up.
Come on, Granddaddy-O. We've got
dirt to do.
With shadows powered, we can rule humanity. When we're done, there won't be anything left to rule. That is dark.
Somebody better call Google Maps.
Life's all about the choices we make. Remember to listen to your heart. You're gonna make the right choice when it matters the most.
One hedgehog to another. Who does your highlights?
The more you talk, the harder I want to hit you.
This ends now.
Our destiny awaits. You are right about one thing. This ends now.
Oh, yeah, doesn't it sound great? Let's bring in our first Talking Flickster of 2025. Duncan's back. Hello, Dunk.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm awesome. Mr. Lee, he's recovering a bit after a big night. Yeah, going to bed at 9 o'clock. Please tell me you didn't go to bed at 9 o'clock last night, Dunk.
Not 9, probably more like 11. I'm pretty old too, so I don't really stay up for New Year's. it's all behind me.
And that's the worst part, isn't it? Like, if you've got to go to work the next day, I struggle being up at midnight after 1, 2 in the morning. I really struggle. In the old days, I could be up all night. Didn't bother me. But now, holy dooly.
Well, Dunk, you are our first Talking Flickster for 2025. How good is that? And you are reviewing an awesome movie, Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Are you a Sonic fan?
Yeah, with the games, I played the original Sonic when I was a kid. I can't say like I played every installment across every system. I never owned a Dreamcast, and I didn't play the Shadow the Hedgehog game on the PS2, so like I can't say I've played every game. But, you know, I played enough. I really liked the first two movies, so I would say I'm a fan.
Yeah, well, Mr. Lee, I asked him last week whether or not he had played Sonic on the Sega, and he had no idea what it was. He used to play Donkey Kong. That was his exciting time.
Donkey Kong's probably the better game, though.
On his Atari, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Yes, let's talk about
it. Yes.
I think they saved the best for last in this trilogy. With trilogies, most of the time, you know, the original movie's probably the best because it's the one you bonded with first, and the quality can kind of dip as it goes along. But I feel like this movie was the opposite. I really enjoyed the first Sonic movie. The second one was even better. And I think they pulled out all the stops for the third one. You know, there's so much more action. The stakes are a lot higher. Now there's essentially three villains compared to, you know, one villain in the first movie and two villains in the second. So third movie, three villains. So the threat's even greater than ever before. Now, you know, you've got your three characters in Team Sonic. You've got Sonic, Tails and Knuckles, and they've been introduced across the journey of the trilogy. So, you know, you've got just bigger teams on both sides. I feel like there was less time wasted on some of the human subplots. In the other movies, you know, you've got a lot more time spent with Tom and Maddie and Wade, you know, just the people from Green Hills, from the town. And I really like those characters. They're funny, you know, they flesh out the world and the story that they're telling. But sometimes I feel like it could kind of get a bit stuck and drag on those characters in the first two movies. So it feels like they've been put to the side a bit more in the third movie, and there's a lot more focus on Team Sonic and the villains and what's happening between them. And I think that's what most of us want. I think a lot of the human characters and stories that they have with them, I think they're more for the parents that take the kids to see Sonic. Mm-hmm. You know, the adults might not be as familiar with Sonic and the games, so they have the human characters to give the parents a bit of interest. And I think the third Sonic, they remember what the focus is. It's, you know, Team Sonic, and it's the villains, and it's the battling between them, and that's what we want to see. So that's what they spend the most time on. Great humor. I felt like the humor was really good quality. Doesn't feel too forced, you know. There's a lot of quips and one-liners and puns, and depending who you are, you can roll your eyes at that. But, you know, you expect that sort of humor in a kids movie. It's not just for kids, but, you know, it's marketed for kids. So the humor's not, like, too cheesy. Like, you genuinely laugh a lot. So I think that's a great reason to go and see it. The fighting is crazy. Just like visually, it looks so good. And the movie just feels bigger because, you know, they're sort of globetrotting, that the fights span, you know, continents and space. And it just feels bigger and better in every way. What else? I thought the pacing was really good. Like, when the movie first starts, it doesn't drag. It doesn't feel like it's trying to catch you up on the whole story from the first and second movie. I feel like there is a bit of a need to have watched the first two to fully appreciate what's happening. I think the movie does kind of assume you know what's happened before it. So I think with the pacing, you sort of just get straight into the new story straight away. I feel like with some sequels and trilogies, in each consecutive movie, they kind of retread what's already come for people that might be seeing it for the first time. So I like that they didn't bother with that. They didn't waste any time. It's a, you know, 2-hour movie, and it feels jam-packed. Doesn't feel bloated. I think there's barely any moments where it drags. So good for kids, you know. Kids don't really want many slow moments in a movie because they can sort of, you know, lose a bit of focus. So I think it flowed really well, and a really satisfying conclusion as well. So, yeah, sorry to ramble, but there's just, a lot to enjoy about it. I thought it was really good way to finish off a trilogy.
That's really, really good. That sounds like it is something that kids and parents will actually get out of. So can I ask, does the story pick up from number two, or it's a completely different story?
No, it's still connected. Where the movie opens, it has the characters from the previous movies, so it does flow straight into it. Like I said, it does kind of assume that you have watched the first two movies. Like with Sonic's essentially human parents, not biological, of course, but the people he lives with. I think if you hadn't seen the first two movies, you might kind of go like, why is Sonic hanging out with these people? And Sonic and Knuckles and Tails are already hanging out. So it doesn't sort of retell you the story that's happened so far. I think you could go into the movie and still enjoy it, but I think it's nice to know how the characters already know each other. And, between Sonic and Knuckles in the past, they've not gotten along, but now they do. So I think it's kind of nice to know their past. But you could go in, and if you haven't seen the previous movies, you'll still enjoy it. But, whole new adventure, but it's definitely part three of a trilogy. Like, it is all connected.
So, Dunk, when we talk about the movies being connected, how about the animation? What was it as good as the first two, or was it better?
Oh, look, with technology, just things get better all the time. So, as you could imagine, it looks better than ever. The way the animated characters are in the real world and the way they interact with, you know, the human actors, there's times where, say, like, if Tom, one of the human characters, holds Sonic or touches him or something, I always try and look really closely to see, does it look realistic? Does it look like he's really holding Sonic, or does it look like it's been manipulated to look that way, which it obviously has? But it just looks so seamless. Like, the animated characters look like they fit in that world, and we've got to be thankful for technology and where it is, you know, in 2025, that it just looks so good, and you don't feel like there's a lack of connection between the animated side of the movie and the real side of the movie. It all fits in well together. The expression on the characters' faces, and just how, the mouths fit the voices, and how the animated characters might interact physically with the world around them. Everything just looks like it's really happening. We know we're looking at computer animation and graphics, but just the way it fits together, you can so easily forget that it's not all real. Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Which is really, really good. And in saying that, Jim Carrey, he plays two roles in this movie, which is incredible because he was going to retire. And I don't know whether he has since retired, because he was talking about it after Sonic 2. But he did come back for Sonic 3 because he played Dr. Robotnik and the professor, which is the grandfather. So it's good to see him back in it.
Yeah, so what I'd heard was Sonic 2 was meant to be his last movie. And then in interviews recently for like promotion for Sonic 3, they were asking him, oh, like, how come he's still in this? And he says, essentially it's for the money. So, you know, he's admitting that he's coming back to acting for financial reasons, but you can tell that he's not just phoning it in. He's not just doing it just for the paycheck. Because if he was, he wouldn't be putting so much of himself into it. And he's the highlight of the movie. Because like you said, he plays both, I think you say Ivo, is the first name of Dr. Robotnik, and then Gerald, who's the professor, like you said, his grandfather. And you know that it's both Jim Carrey, you know, you can see in the face that it's him. But he plays both of them very differently and so well. Like, you know, the older voice for the professor. Just like different facial animations for each one, but they have so much screen time together where, you know, they're the only two characters on the screen at the same time. And it's just crazy to think of how much of himself he gave to the performance. He probably has the most screen time out of any character in the movie. And it's the Jim Carrey we love, just cranked up to 11. All these expressions and voices and just the crazy things that he says. Like, I can imagine that only half of the funny things he says are scripted and the rest is all just, you know, flying out of his brain. So that's why I feel like even if the truth is that he's come back to acting because he wants to keep getting paid, it feels like he could have done this just for the love of it, because it seems like he's just having such a good time. He's constantly funny, constant one-liners and just crazy things that he says. If you like Jim Carrey and all these movies, you know what to expect. But just to do that twice for two different characters and for those two characters to be interacting constantly, not like in different scenes to each other, like they're interacting and just how that would be to film. I can't even imagine what happens behind the scenes, but it's pretty magical.
There's also been lots of talk as well about Keanu, as usual, doing a fantastic job. Would you agree?
I think so. If you picture Keanu Reeves' voice, you know, it's that gruff kind of, it's almost like monotone, which would usually sound like a bad thing because you think monotone, it's not varied and expressive enough. But I think that lends itself well to Shadow as a character because Shadow is dark and brooding. He's mysterious. He doesn't show much emotion most of the time. So, like, the voice really fits. I can't think of, like, a better fit for Shadow's voice. And it's also cool because if you go back to the original Sonic movie in this trilogy, they talk about Keanu really early on. They're watching, the family's watching Speed and Sonic is watching from the window because they haven't met yet. And he's saying how much like a national treasure Keanu is. So I think it's cool that they ended up bringing him into the world, you know, a couple of movies later.
Yeah, another actress too in the film, an Aussie, Alila Brown. Now she played Maria. Did you see much of her? Did she feature much in the film?
Yeah, so she fits into Shadow's backstory. I won't say much more about who she is or what she does, but she's not a consistent character throughout that. Well, she's in scenes throughout the movie, but she's not connected to like Team Sonic and those characters because Shadow, the character, he's been suspended, you know, kind of like frozen or whatever for like 50 years. So Maria's part of his backstory. So it's kind of, she's set in the past with Shadow. But you find out why he is the way he is, kind of why he's set on the path that he is and why he's kind of dark and ominous. And I really liked his backstory. Besides Jim Carrey and his part of the movie, my next favourite part of the movie was Shadow's backstory. I really liked that.
And it's so good when they do give you a backstory of a movie because you need to know where they've come from, whether it's good or bad. It's nice to know.
Yeah, if a character comes into the story and, like, they are angry at the world and they want revenge and everything, you need to know why. In a movie where you don't get to see what makes the character tick, I just feel like you're kind of robbed of something that you can't help but want, like, you want to know, how did this character get this way? Like, what's driving them? So I like when they spend enough time to justify that.
Which is really good. Now, good news for Sonic lovers. It was actually announced last year in December. There is going to be a fourth installment. So looking forward to that.
Let's give that a... We'll get the party poppers out.
Party popper.
No, they were from last night from your house. Just before 9 o'clock.
They weren't used.
No. that is great news.
So that's good news.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's really good news. And they're also looking at probably developing some characters to have their own movie as well. So it'd be good to see. And as we're saying, backstory, you might find out a little bit more about that character, which is really good. So, yeah, let's hope they actually do something and actually do it.
Yeah, look, the quality of the trilogy just increased the whole time. I think they have a lot of stories left they could tell. Like, look at video game series. There's so many installments because there's constantly new ideas. And like I was saying with the animation, technology is always better. So they can always just make things look better and more believable in these animated worlds. And I would, if you go to see it, stick around because there is a midway credits post. What do you say? Post credit scene. Is that how you say it?
That's it.
About halfway through the credits, there's a scene, and there's also one like at the very, very end of the credits. So I know people want to clean up and go home, but stick around till the very end because there is a little snippet that's definitely worth seeing as well, and that will lead into whatever the future is for the Sonic movies. I think there's a lot of characters in the Sonic lore that they could use. I'm not sure, what'll happen with certain characters and who will return and who won't. But I just feel like, that even though this trilogy's wrapped up, I think there's so many more stories they can tell.
All right. Well, Mr. Liebel, can you get some Choc Tops out of the freezer, please, for Duncan? His favorite flavor. Make sure there's plenty of that to go around. And give him five.
I can't remember his favorite flavor. What is it, Duncan?
I think last time I said mint choc chip. And right. I'm pretty sure you said that's one you sell. So, yeah, we'll do that.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Five mint choc chip.
And for this movie, Duncan, how many Choc Tops are you going to give it and how many are you going to keep?
I'm going to give it four. I think for a movie of this style, a 5 out of 5, that's reserved for, like the masterpieces. So I would say a 4 out of 5 is probably about as high as I could go for a kid's movie. So, that's still a top score.
Very good, Dunk. And you know what that gets? Another one of Mr. Lee's party poppers.
Plenty more where that came from.
That certainly is. That is really good. I think even a 3 is pretty good, but to get a 4, that's great. And you know what? School holidays here, I'm sure there'll be lots of parents taking the kids off to see Sonic. And as you said earlier, Dunk, I do agree with that. Being a parent, nothing better than going along to see a movie that is potentially designed for kids, but the parents can get involved as well. So I think that's always great.
I think something like Sonic it really kind of transcends generations because Sonic's been around for so long now, since the Master System days, that the majority of parents taking kids to see this, they probably played it at some point in their life. So I don't want to like downgrade it and say it's just a kids movie because it's not. Like, no. It'll appeal to kids, but see, I went on my own. I didn't take any kids or anything, and I had an awesome time. So you don't have to be a kid to enjoy it at all, but you know that they're the ones that are going to get the most out of it.
And another movie that is not just a kids movie is Paddington in Peru. It's out right now. We'll be doing that with our Talk and Flick star, Chloe, next week. Do you have a question that you'd want to ask Chloe for Paddington next week?
Oh, I guess let's use one of the ones we used in this one. How was the animation? Honestly, I haven't watched any of the Paddington movies, so I don't really know what to expect outside of, trailers that I've seen. And I'm just wondering, how's the animation for Paddington? Like, does he feel as present and real in that movie as I found the characters to be in Sonic 3?
Okay, good question.
Can I just say, before you go, Duncan, I have a question. Yep. What movie this year are you looking forward to watching? Because there is some big movies coming out this year.
Look, it's so hard to pick because looking at the list of what's to come, I want to see so many of them. Like, I feel like there's 10 different answers I could give. Seeing the trailer recently for 28 Years Later, I'm just so excited for that. I remember seeing 28 Days Later when it came out at a Dendy in Sydney. And, you know, it wasn't a phenomenon yet. Like, not everyone was talking about it. And I remember just how much it blew me away. And it still does when I rewatch it to this day. So for that to continue, I'm just so pumped for that. I really like zombie movies that are smart, that have done well. And 28 Days Later and 28 Years Later, they just feel so scary because it feels so real. And I just can't wait to get more of that world. So, yeah, I'm sorry to all the other ones I want to see, like Superman and Wicked 2 and everything. But, I felt so excited when I watched the 28 Years Later trailer. So it's got to be that one.
I'm actually looking forward to Superman. I think that's going to be good because I love DC. And it'll be so interesting to see how James Gunn's really kind of changed everything around. So hopefully.
Maybe DC will beat Marvel this year.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Because we know how well James Gunn did at Marvel. And, you know, it's a big, big thing for DC to have him. So, yeah.
Well, before we go, gents, I thought we'd go around the table quickly. New Year's resolutions, you either love them or you hate them. Well, this is New Year's Day. We've got to do this, right? So, Mr. Lee, your New Year's resolution?
Well, I've been thinking about this for some time, from the last 12 months, basically. And my New Year's resolution is don't make them because they don't last.
See, you just wrecked this again. Come on.
I know. You know what? Last year I had New Year's resolutions, and I can't remember what they are now, but I know they didn't last. It was just, yeah. If I had one, I would like to lose weight. That's my big thing.
That's the main one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
How about you, Dunk? What's your New Year's resolution?
For me, I think the best way to set a goal is to make it enjoyable to achieve. You know, a lot of people, they have a New Year's resolution, which is like, start some extreme diet or start some, you know, extreme new type of exercise. And, you know, because it's so radical and it's new and hard, that's where people drop off. So I think I'm going to make one that's actually enjoyable to achieve, and that's going to be to see more movies.
Yeah, very good. I like that one. I'll give you
a... I like that one.
Yeah, because I can't screw that one up because why wouldn't I want to follow through on that? So, yeah, I think that's the goal.
Very good. Very good. Well, that was my number two. That was my number two.
Oh, was it? Yeah. What's your number one?
I want to go on a holiday. I've got to take a holiday this year. A much needed holiday, I think. That's number one. Number two is definitely see more movies. I agree with Duncan on that. Number three, I had to include this, be nicer to Mr. Lee. I've broken that already. So,
correct.
And hey, we want the listeners to keep coming back. You can't change that. That's
never going to happen. Never going to happen over my dead body.
Well, you know what? If I happen to go away for a month, you'll just miss me that much.
Pull the one that plays Jingle Bells, please. Okay, if you want to be a talking flickster, you can get involved right now. Mr. Lee will tell you how. It's so easy.
It certainly is. Just head to the odeon5.com.au or the forum6.com.au websites. Click on the link that says Talking Flicks and then just fill in a few little questions that we've got there, and then we'll be in contact with you and you'll be just going to the movies on my credit card because, yeah, it's always my credit card. JT never offers to buy a ticket. But anyway, and you'll be on the podcast just like Duncan has and has done quite a few times last year because he loves movies.
He certainly does. So I'm sure we'll see you again soon, Dunk. So you enjoy movies.
I love it.
Good on you, guys. Well, we'll catch you on Friday, Mr. Lee, for another edition of Talk and Flicks, our first normal episode for 2025. Sure. So make sure you're there. Be square.
I'll be there. It's all good. I won't miss that one.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And by the way, I'm not being nice to you, okay? So don't expect anything great.
Yeah,
right?
See, there you've lost it already.
Want more Talking Flicks? Get your fix with every episode, anywhere, anytime. Just search Talking Flicks on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.